And we're back on Sunday Morning Live on Magic 102.1, Houston's only R&B station. It's a minute before 10 o'clock. I am J. Thomas Smith along with Val Wilson. And we'd like to invite you to be a part of the program this morning. Our phone number is 713-390-5102. 713-390-5102. And in this segment, we have Dr. Thesia... wait a minute. Hold on. Okay, we have Thesia Jenkins in the studio, and on the phone we'll be having Dr. Brown Burton. So, good morning, Ms. Jenkins, and welcome to Magic 102.1.
Good morning.
And our topic today, it's no secret that there's a growing rate of battery and abuse and domestic violence among teenage girls and young adults in this country. And the rate among African-American women is the highest in the country. And we want to shed some light on this topic from the purview of it being Women's Health Month. But we just had Women's Health Week, right?
Yes.
So sure. Women's Health Week within Women's Health Month. I believe the First Lady spoke on the subject. The President issued a proclamation acknowledging Women's Health Week. And there are just so many things going on with regard to Women's Health Week. Let's talk a little bit about women's health. What is the purpose of having a Women's Health Week or Women's Health Month?
Well, you know, in my experience, I believe that oftentimes as women, we are constantly giving and giving to others, and we don't take the time to really care for ourselves. So I would surmise that having Women's Health Week is really about taking time to focus on you as a woman, taking time to say, this is my time.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so in other words, gotta take care of your health, take care of your eating, be active, your mental health, managing stress, sleeping, and
all of the
just
above.
Doing everything. Because women are always taking care of other folks, taking care of their children, their husband, the man in their life, their sisters, cousins, mother, daddy, and don't think about themselves very often until there's a problem.
Exactly.
So obviously want to encourage women to be more proactive and being involved in taking care of you. Now, with regard to domestic violence, I mean, it's we talk about this during Domestic Violence Month and the like, but I guess it's kind of startling to realize that the numbers of cases, the level of domestic violence in the African American community, especially among the younger women, is so high. Shed some light on that for us, if you would, just where we are with regard to that.
Well, I think what we're seeing is what is happening in our society at large. With the new generation, I just recently spoke at a conference in Austin hosted by the Texas Council on Family Violence. And it was a conference for battering intervention prevention programs. And that is a program that is set aside for men who batter. Mm. And so had the opportunity to sit in on one of the sessions with Dr. Dines, who is from England. And her session talked about the correlation between pornography and the media and the influence that it has on violence against women. And so when you funnel that down, and if we're talking specifically about the African American community, that the role models that are prevalent in today's society, and the role, talking about gender socialization, plays a very big part, that women are seen basically as, I don't want to say second class citizens, but definitely as sex objects, the objectification of women. And I think that plays a very big role. And, you know, I hope we get an opportunity to talk about primary prevention, because that truly is the focus. And I think so many times we look at the problem, but let's step back and say, is it preventable? And yes, what we are seeing today, domestic violence is preventable.
Oh, yeah. Why would it not be preventable? You know, I mean, it has to be preventable. And obviously, we want to do more to do that. But let's talk about domestic violence. What is domestic violence? I sometimes think that folks, we get to see such behaviors to such an extent that what is domestic violence is not sometimes seen as domestic violence by the victim.
You are so right. When we talk about domestic violence, we're talking about violence between intimate partners, persons who are married, used to be married, dating, used to be dating. And most people think about domestic violence as physical assault.
Mm-hmm.
But before it ever gets to physical assault, there are definitely some things that you can see. There's something called the power and control wheel. And for our listeners, you know, definitely go on your smartphones, computers, and Google power and control wheel. And this was developed by a woman by the name of Ellen Pence, P-E-N-C-E. And what it does is it's the model, is the dynamics of domestic violence. And I know that we're short on time, so I'll bring to light maybe two or three of those things that happen where the abuser uses these tactics to control the victim. One of those is going to be isolation. And with that, a person in a relationship may find themselves slowly being cut off from family, friends, even from church, because the partner says, oh, I don't want you going to that church because I see how that pastor looks at you, or I see how those guys look at you in the choir. And before you know it, you have a woman who's slowly but surely getting away from the choir, maybe not calling her friends as often. So that's isolation. And the abuser does that in order to take away all of the support system. Another tactic that the abuser may use is the constant verbal and emotional abuse. Well, you know what? Nobody else going to want you. You got three kids. Are you so big you're going to need your own zip code before it's over with?
Sound like the color, line from The Color Purple.
Sure, you're right. And if someone is constantly telling you things like that on an ongoing basis, no matter what all your friends and family are telling you, you know, you're an awesome person, you're great. But Adolf Hitler was once quoted as saying that if you tell a lie long enough and loud enough, it becomes truth.
Sounds like politics.
Well, anyway, power and control.
Nationally, in a recent survey, 29% of African-American women and 12% of African-American men report at least one instance of violence from an intimate partner. Is that number kind of high, or is that pretty accurate?
I want to say that it's about average, because what we know is that every 9 seconds, every 9 seconds, a woman is battered in a relationship.
Wow.
1 in 3 women will experience domestic violence in their lifetime. So you go to the grocery store, you go to a club, wherever, you count 1, 2, 3. 1 in 3 of those women is either in an abusive relationship or will be. 1 in 10 men will experience domestic violence in their lifetime.
Our phone number is 713-390-5102. 713-390-5102. And we're talking with Thesia Jenkins, and we're waiting for Dr. Brown Burton to call in. Oh, he's on the line? Oh, okay. Dr. Burton, good morning.
Good morning. How are you today?
Oh, very well. Thank you. Sorry. I hope you haven't been holding too long. Didn't realize you were there. So do you have anything you'd like to contribute to what we've discussed so far?
I would like to echo some of the statements and comments that Thesia Jenkins has already made. My area of expertise is in mass media, and particularly images of African Americans. And one of the things that bothers me, which is one of the things that Thesia Jenkins just mentioned, are the images that are being disseminated via popular culture and mass media. In terms of how African-American relationships are depicted, and even African-American women historically, how they've been depicted, and how that tends to, in my opinion, fuel a source of resentment, or a sort of resentment, I should say, toward Black women. And what I mean by that is that historically, there are certain images that Black women have been portrayed or been depicted as being, such as matriarchal, very angry. We have the sapphire image in the, you know, in the tradition of Sapphire Stevens from the Amos and Andy show, and that woman, that image of that Black woman was angry, very emasculating, confrontational. Today, her legacy is the Black bitch, you know, and excuse my language, but...
Oh, yes, we have.
Demisexual. So when you see a woman, when the Black woman is often portrayed in those extremes, either being hypersexual, wanting or whose purpose is for having sex or to be used for sex, or one who is a nag and angry, then there's no, we are not being socialized to appreciate or to see the full range of the black woman. And so we're not being given, and particularly our black males, aren't being given a reason or a way to love black women. Because there are so few examples of healthy black relationships that we see via mass media. And when we do see them, they're often older couples maybe or more mature couples. The relationships that we see of younger blacks tend to be very dysfunctional. And so it's no surprise that that's what we tend to model and emulate what we see and or experience via our encounters with mass media.
Okay, we're also joined on the phone by Rosina Clark Turner. Rosina is a social worker and RN. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning. Good morning. And thanks for having me this morning.
And what city, are you in town? Or are you from what city are you calling from?
I'm actually calling in from Crowley, just a little bit south of Fort Worth, Texas.
Okay, fantastic. So, with regard to now, are you practicing as a nurse or a social worker?
I'm actually both. I like to consider myself a generalist practitioner, primarily because of my social work background. Mm-hmm. But I'm primarily working in nursing right now as a consultant, and it's one of the areas in which I can marry the impact of all of the things that we're talking about this morning because of how closely connected they are with the black woman's plight.
So what has been your actual experience on the front lines of dealing with domestic violence?
Well, one of the ways that I've experienced it is from being a hospital-based social worker. Mm-hmm. And experiencing the issues, you know, in the aftermath of the violence, primarily, you know, in the emergency room and dealing with it from the legal perspective in terms of, you know, after the violence has occurred.
Yeah, have you, do we have, let's talk, I mean, I hate to go to the extreme, but is mortality an issue often in these situations?
Well, you know, black women experience the highest rate of mortality when it comes to intimate partner violence. Mm. And that's you know, been very well known. One of the things we find that it is the most tragic time, most critical time for the black woman who's involved in an intimate partner violence situation is when she's attempting to leave.
What does socioeconomic status have to do? What's the relationship between the two?
And I'm pretty sure that others
yeah, this is open to anybody.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, everybody could grab that question.
Well, I want to also go back to about the mortality. What we know that in the state of Texas, that there were 142 women who died as a result of domestic violence in 2011. And I believe that 35 of those women were from Harris County.
Oh, wow.
Harris County.
So this is the biggest county in which apparently there's a large number of cases.
Exactly.
Here.
And there's an organization called the Harris County Domestic Violence Coordinating Council.
Really?
Again, that's the Harris County Domestic Violence Coordinating Council. And they have partnered with the local law enforcement agencies, Houston Police Department, and I'm with the Bridge Over Troubled Waters in Pasadena. They've also partnered with Pasadena, and they're doing a lethality assessment citywide. And what that means is they're looking at the correlation between what happens when a woman decides to leave an abusive relationship and her mortality rate. And as the individual talked about the mortality, that when a woman decides to leave an abusive relationship, she is 75% more at risk for injury or death.
Mm.
And so when we talk about the socioeconomic piece, one of the things that our agency is addressing is the link between financial literacy and domestic violence. Because what we see is that the community, family, and friends are saying, leave, leave, leave. However, when that person decides to leave, who's going to pay their bills? Mm-hmm. Because not every case, because I also like to dismiss the thought that every woman who's in an abusive relationship is economically dependent. But because of the economic violence, and that's talked about again in the power and control will, you may have someone, for say, for example, like one of our panelists is an RN. And that RN could be making $60,000, $70,000, $80,000 a year. However, if they are in an abusive relationship, their partner may use intimidation and say, okay, when you get paid, you're doing a direct deposit to my account, and I will give you $50 a week for whatever you need to do. Mm-hmm. So that's economic abuse. So even though the person has high earning potential, they don't see that money because they don't have a say in the finances. Mm-hmm. And then for those individuals who may be receiving TANF, and what we know is that if you're receiving TANF, you have to be involved in work-related activities such as finding a job or going to school. I had one young lady who talked to me during a group and said, you know, I was all set to go take my final exam to become a CNA, and he purposely, I know, kept me up all night long, fussing and cussing, knowing that I had to go to school to take my final the next day. She got ready to go to school that day. Then he told her, you can't use the car to go take the test. You can't use that car. And the whole purpose of that was economic abuse, because he knew that if she got that certificate as a CNA, she would then have earning potential. So many times people are kept in that abusive cycle. If they have an earning income, they don't have access to it or a say over it. And if they are living in poverty conditions, that the abuser will do tactics in order to keep them in that impoverished condition.
Mm. Now, anyone can respond to this. When someone's in a hopeless situation like that, do they at times harm themselves?
Suicidal ideation. I worked for 5 years for a local hospital in a psychiatric facility. In hindsight, being 2020, I now realize that many of the women who came in with major depression and other mental health issues were in abusive relationships. And I can't tell you how many women I've sat in front of, and children as well, who said, you know what, I just want to go to sleep and not wake up.
Mm.
Because you do get to that point of despair that you've tried everything you can to get out of that relationship. But if you don't have the economic means, if you're being told day in and day out that you're worthless, that you have the fear of losing your children, then yes, you can get to that point of hopelessness.
Our phone number is 713-390-5102, 713-390-5102. We're talking with Rosina Clark Turner, RN and MS social worker, also Thessia Jenkins and Dr. Brown Burton. We're talking about women's health issues, specifically domestic violence. We invite your input in the conversation at 713-390-5102. And you were about to say something?
Yeah, this is Rosina. And what I was just about to say in conjunction with what was just recently stated was that a lot of the statistics right now that are being kept across the country, in addition to the issues related to domestic violence and the abuse issues, are reporting the suicide related issues that are associated with domestic violence. Mm-hmm. And so there is a growing link between the two.
Now, what about support system? I guess we talked a little bit about that with regard to isolating, but obviously if there's a stronger support system, they've got family, friends that are providing support, it's easier for them to get out of such a relationship, I would imagine.
Most definitely. And that would be the purpose of, this program this morning, and I want to applaud you for putting this out here to the community, that there are programs out there such as the Bridge Over Troubled Waters and other agencies in the surrounding Houston area. And part of that support system can come from working with an agency and being a part of support groups and having an advocate.
Mm-hmm.
Because unfortunately, many times when a person is in an abusive relationship, because of the isolation that has occurred, family and friends begin to drift away. Mm-hmm. Or as one young woman who is a part of the training that we're doing in Pasadena. She is a survivor, and she talks about how she purposely cut her family off because her abuser told her that he would kill them. And so in order for her to, in her mind, to save them, she cut off all contact. So if family and friends are not there, definitely working with an agency to be a part of a support group and have an advocate that is working with you.
Let's talk about the Bridge Over Troubled Waters. Where they're located here in Houston?
We're actually located in Pasadena, serving Southeast Harris County. We serve the cities of Pasadena, Deer Park, LaPorte, Jacinto City, Channelview, Baytown, and South Houston. We have an emergency shelter, 100 beds. 40 of those beds are emergency shelter, a 30-day stay. The remaining 60 are transitional. That is a one-year program. And we also provide services to men. We can house up to two men and their children who are in an abusive relationship. We also provide on-site child care. We have licensed child care facilities at both our shelter, and also we have a permanent housing program called Destiny Village. And Destiny Village is an apartment complex that we manage that is for women who have survived domestic violence, who have a mental health issue. Mm-hmm. That could be major depression, bipolar, schizophrenia, or also having a physical disability, because there is a correlation between health and domestic violence. The clients can stay there until their last child turns 18, and they, in both programs, they have a caseworker who works with them. I am the advocacy and education director, and I oversee the non-residential program, which includes our support groups. We also have a 24-hour hotline, 713-473-2801. Again, 713-473-2801, and that is answered 24 hours a day. We also do walk-in assessments, so that means that a person could come to our office, which is located at 3811 Allen Genoa Road, Pasadena, 77504. Again, 3811 Allen Genoa Road, Pasadena, 77504.
Wow. Well, imagine if you came prepared.
I have a question I'd like to pose to the ladies. What are some of the cultural and racial repercussions of reporting domestic violence for African-American women? Oftentimes, you know, we have this concept or this belief in the community, I don't want to call the police and tell on my brother, tell on the black man, because we know that, you know, he'll get in trouble with the police, and we don't want to create that stigma for him. So oftentimes, we see young women or women staying in relationships?
Exactly, Ms. Wilson. Definitely domestic violence, and this could be a one-day show. You layer the power, if you take the power and control wheel itself, and then you layer culture on top of that, definitely the cultural implications then make it even more difficult for someone to reach out. And I believe that's a very large part of it, because unfortunately, just as domestic violence is on the rise within our community, also we recognize that many of our African-American men have been incarcerated, have had some kind of contact with law enforcement. So then I, as an African-American woman in a relationship, I don't want to send JoJo back to jail. Okay. Mm-hmm. Also, JoJo, Leroy Sam. But is that whole idea of I don't want to snitch. Mm-hmm. I don't want to snitch. I don't want to be a part of the problem. But we have to begin to separate that and say that individual who has chose violence has chosen to have that interaction with law enforcement. And just very quickly, I saw something recently in one of my Facebook posts, and I loved it. And I was sharing this with the Pasadena Police Department as I was doing training, that it was very simply said that domestic violence is a crime. Culture is not. Mm. And so many times we want to get away and say, well, that's just how our men are. No. We go back to gender socialization. We go back to learning about respect between the sexes. Domestic violence is a crime. Culture is not. It is not an excuse.
I would like to add a couple of things to what we are discussing. And I definitely can appreciate the culture piece, because I believe that's the backdrop of how we function in society. We all function according to our cultural norms. But there's something I think that we mentioned that I really think is tied directly into this, or it's a common thread, I think, through domestic violence occurrences and the related outcomes, and that's mental health. And when we look at the abusers and often the abused, they are often sufferers of some form of mental health issue or disorder, be it diagnosed and most often undiagnosed, maybe low self-esteem due to a lack of not having a male model present to know what's acceptable. What role should a female play in a relationship? What should she expect of her male companion? And so when you have two people that are unhealthy or broken in any way, inevitably there's going to be difficulties, and it's more likely, or the incident of abuse tends to be higher in those instances where people are suffering from some type of mental health issue themselves, either as hereditary or that's been triggered as a result of some type of trauma in their life, past trauma.
Our phone number.
And so I think that's something that we really, and more attention to it. We talk about children exploited and missing children. That gets a lot of attention. But domestic violence really it does not get the attention that it really deserves because of how women, how we portray women in society, how women are viewed society, you know, from a societal perspective.
Our phone number is 713-390-5102, 713-390-5102. Question, have you found that it's been domestic violence can be intergenerational? In other words, the mother was a victim and then the daughter...
Absolutely, because in the whole case of socialization, you see where the whole pattern of abuse is learned as a response to conflict resolution and all those other things. And so the whole system of having to address it when it comes to, because we talk a lot about the interventions after it's occurred, but the whole prevention paradigm has to begin to deal with creating alternative ways for children who have been exposed to abuse, who themselves are at risk of becoming abusers and, you know, in their ways of dealing with relationship, because that's what they've seen. So it's a way of perpetuating that as a norm for how relationships should occur.
Okay, we're going to take a brief break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about what we can do about prevention. You're listening to Magic 102.1. We have as our guest this hour, Thesia Jenkins, Dr. Brown Burton, and Rosina Turner, Rosina Clark Turner. You're listening to Magic 102.1. And all right, we're back. Val Wilson and yours truly, J. Thomas Smith. Let's go to the telephone with line one. Kathleen, you're on Sunday Morning Live. Good morning.
Well, good morning for taking my call. I just want to, you know, thank you guys for, you know, opening up the doors for women that are being abused on a daily basis. I was abused for years, and I had a good support system to help me get out of it. I just want to say that we as black women, we become immune to ourselves and we're substitute to other people. There's a lot of raping and abuse going on and people harm today that's never been reported because we as black women don't want to expose our husband or man or whoever to the law, and we continue on to take that abuse. But I just want to say to the people that's listening to the show this morning that if you are being abused anywhere in your home or by someone, report it to someone. Seek help. There's help out there. This is why the show is going on today. There's help out there because we've been abused so much until we're immune to our own self. Like the lady said earlier in the show, we're so busy of taking care of everybody else until we forget about our own self. And we need to think about that because if we don't, God knows what's going to happen. Because in other countries like Trinidad, that women over there, they feel like it to beat them is a part of their marriage package. But that shouldn't be that way. And I just want to say thank you guys for taking my call. That women that's truly being abused or whatever way, form, or fashion to seek help and so that the doors can be opened for us as abused people. Because we need it. It's a lot of help out there. We really do need a lot of help. I know a lot of people that really do need it. I hope they're listening to the show this morning.
All right. Thank you, Kathleen.
But thank you so much for taking my call.
All right. Let's go to line four. Lee, you're on Sunday Morning Live on Magic 102.1. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to make a quick comment. This is on the behalf of my niece, who's no longer here to speak for herself, but she had twins by a male. Of course, I can't call him a man. We know that every man is a male, but every male is not a man. And this male was threatening to take her children. She had a heart problem, but we didn't know about this here. We think that he was probably poisoning her somehow or another. But anyway, she had this heart problem that all of a sudden came up, and she needed medical attention. And he threatened her that if she left to go get that medical attention, that the kids would not be there when she got back. And so she went to her grave believing that.
Wow. Okay, well, that punctuates the importance of folks who are victims of domestic violence, the importance of getting help to reach out to the extent that you can with the resources that are available. Thanks for your call, Lee. We do appreciate that. It's 1035. Let's give your phone number one more time.
Yes, the Bridge Over Troubled Waters, our 24-hour hotline, 713-473-2801.
Okay, and Ms. Clark Turner, you had some comments you wanted to make with regard to the what men can do or their involvement in domestic violence.
Yeah, you know, the last call was just real poignant in helping us understand that to be silent could be deadly for women in violence abuse situations, and it's really difficult for us to have a conversation about violence against black women and not deal with who is abusing the black woman, you know? And a lot of the research and stuff that's going on right now in talking in focus group with black men is looking at the fact that we've got to reach out and address the issues for black men who are, in fact, the perpetrators. In most of the cases, they're not strangers. Mm-hmm. These are known, and that's why we talk about it as intimate partner violence. So looking at the issues of what can be done among black men to address the issue, to prevent the whole issue of violence among black women.
All right. Let's go to line one. We have a caller on line that needs assistance, I believe. Is that you're on Sunday Morning Live. Who am I talking to?
Yes, good morning. I can't give my name.
Of course. You can make up a name.
Okay, Jennifer.
Okay, Jen. Talk to me.
I have a degree in mental health. I'm a counselor and a teacher, but I'm in an abusive relationship. I've been in it for about 9 years, choked, slapped, just tortured, everything. And last night was kind of like the final. He was going to throw the 10-pound weight ball into the television and break up everything in the apartment, and he was going to throw the ball through the window. And this is what I went through last night, and I thank God for hearing this morning, and I'm going to do something about it. I'm one of those who I don't want to call the police because I don't want him to go to jail kind of thing, but I know I have to do something. I have these numbers, and I will proceed to do something tomorrow to make contact with somebody, and thank you so much. God bless you.
Jen, before you get off the phone, are you there?
Yes.
I'd like for you, I can't tell you to make the call today, but I want to encourage you to make the call today.
Okay.
Because what, and also, number one, if you were calling our hotline, my first question is, are you safe now?
Yes, I'm at one of my children's house right now.
Okay.
Which we've been isolated because they're professional women also, and they can't understand why I have continued to be in this relationship.
Right. Well, I want to encourage you to call today. Please call today. That number is 713-473-2801.
I had the wrong number. Okay. And I'm in the Deer Park area.
Okay. And repeat that number back to me so that I know that you have it.
713-473-2801.
Please call today, Jen.
Yes, we all encourage
you to call.
We all encourage you.
Thank you so much. Wow. Yeah, this is very important work. Again, what else can we do about prevention? We got about a minute. Can you kind of put a bow on it for us?
You know, because we only have a minute, I want to encourage our listeners to log on to Texas Council on Family Violence, and that website is T as in Texas, C, Council, F, Family, V, Violence.org. Again, TCFV.org. And there on that website, there should be information about prevention, primary prevention. Also, please feel free to contact the Bridge Over Troubled Waters about primary prevention. And most definitely, it is preventable.
We'd like to thank Dr. Rockwell Brown Burton. I say again?
Raquel.
Raquel. Okay. Raquel. Dr. Raquel Brown Burton, a professor at Texas Southern University, cultural studies professor. Thank you for being a part of the program. Also, Rosina Clark Turner, LMSW and registered nurse. Thank you for being on the program, as well as our in-studio guest, Thesia Jenkins, with the Bridge Over Troubled Waters. Thank you all for being a part of the program and sharing this very, very, addressing this very important issue in our community. We really appreciate you and all that you do. Thank you again, okay?
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.